And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick Mamoose, Batsir Commander-in-Chief, tiptv.co.uk. The date is Wednesday, the 5th of November. We're here 10 a.m. every day covering markets and sport live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading activities. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose.
And the first company on the podium is Decal Oil, which is apparently a large-scale oil palm production operation located in the Ivory Coast, otherwise known as the Côte d'Ivoire. Is that correct?
That's correct.
My French. No. We're doing this interview with Harry Stevenson from Beaufort Securities, who I must not forget, who presumably knows a little bit more about the company than I do, and he will fire away questions as well. But if you could just give us, maybe starting off with, I haven't actually introduced who you are. We have Lincoln John Moore, who's executive director on the right, and Andrew James Tillery, non-executive chairman of Decal Oil,
hello,
on the left. Sorry, right,
thanks,
let's get that started. Lincoln, could you just explain a little bit about, apart from the sort of the overall description of the company, what's going on in the Ivory Coast for you?
Sure. Really, it's been a busy 18 months. We listed the company on AIM in March 2013, and the idea of the listing is to raise a little bit of equity to go with development bank loans we had to put in the last piece of the puzzle for our business, which was putting in a 60-tonne per hour palm oil mill, which is, as we understand, the largest mill in West Africa. So since March 2013, it was a 12-month process to construct that mill. Of course, we had assets already in place, which was a nursery capable of producing 1 million plants per year, which we're unashamed to say is regarded as one of the greatest nurseries, including the Southeast Asian players. We have 2,000 hectares of our own estates planted and now mature. We have contracts with thousands of smallholders, which has mature palm. And of course, the mill was the last piece of the puzzle to move into production. The mill became operational March this year. We've been operating now for the mill, obviously, for 7 months and producing commercial quantities of crude palm oil. We put our interims out in June, which showed a modest profit, which took into account January, February, March were non-production months, so obviously just overhead months, so pleasing to make a profit. And I think by the end of the year, we're aiming to produce around about 16,000 tonnes of CPO for our first year. Obviously, the aim is to really ramp up in our second year. This year, we missed the major part of the high season, March to June. Obviously, the operations were...
The growing season is March to June, is that correct? I mean, the peak growing season?
Yeah, we produce palm oil all year round, all but right. the major part of the year is March to June is our peak season. And with the benefit, obviously, of 12 months under our belt, we aim to take full advantage next year and significantly improve production next year.
All right. Where do you actually get the bulk of your... the actual raw material that goes into the plant? You've got a small nursery and you produce some of your own. I think you have some hubs. Is that the right expression that you have?
Well, the bulk of the fruit or the fresh fruit bunch at the moment is coming from the smallholder contracts,
right,
that I mentioned earlier. Then, of course, we've got our 2,000 hectares planted, which is contributing, but the bulk is from the smallholders. In terms of the hubs, what we are trying to do is make it as easy as possible for the smallholders to deliver the fruit to us. So we're setting up a number of collection centres or hubs, as you like, which would make it very simple for the smallholders to deliver the fruit to those hubs, and then we can deliver the fruit as we require to the mill.
Okay. I think one of the things as an analyst that I like about companies, and you try to determine in terms of management, and in this particular case, the management of Decal Oil have vast experience in West Africa and in the agricultural business. Perhaps you could just give us a bit of background to both your histories there.
Sure, I can start on that. I lived in Côte d'Ivoire for 10 years. Working in the agricultural sector, primarily in the rubber business, in fact, but I was also at one point the CEO of one of the larger palm oil companies in the country, one of the palm oil companies that was formed following the privatization of a very, very large government palm oil project in the country. I ran that for a few years before moving on, but in total, spent 10 years there through a period which was not particularly stable in the country's history. Things are a lot different now. You know, there was a civil conflict in the country between 2002-2011. Since then, things have moved on quite significantly. We're seeing a massive change in the amount of investment in the country. We're seeing significant investment in infrastructure, which is to the benefit of everybody, everybody involved in doing business in Côte d'Ivoire, particularly those in the agricultural sector, because agribusiness by its very nature is dependent upon having good logistics. Good logistics require good infrastructure. We're seeing a lot of investment in that. So it's what I'd call a very enabling environment at the moment, and probably one of the best in West Africa.
So why are, or is there a preponderance of palm oil producers in West Africa?
The palm oil is indigenous to West Africa. We're not planting sort of unimproved natural palm oil seedlings in our nurseries. We are actually planting improved material, which we've sourced from the National Research Center. But Côte d'Ivoire is basically one of the few parts of Africa and where palm oil will grow without irrigation or any additional and expensive inputs. The region in which palm oil grows is essentially West Africa, Western Equatorial Africa, and Central Africa.
Just a remark, because people may not be familiar, but people might think they know what palm oil is used for. But what are the main uses, and what's the sort of demand outlook as well for that?
Most of what we're producing is going into the domestic market. We're producing CPO, which is crude palm oil. This then requires to be refined in order to produce what we know and see on our supermarket shelves here in Europe as cooking oil. So the principal end product for the CPO is cooking oil. But we don't produce that. We produce the crude palm oil, which we then sell on to the refineries in the country. They produce refined oil, which appears on the supermarket shelves in Côte d'Ivoire.
So it's also used in chocolates, in biscuits, in butters. I mean, 80% of it is used in food. Then, of course, you have use in cosmetics, a small amount in biodiesel. But the outlook and the demand.
That's like a very useful and very popular and versatile product.
It's the edible of choice of the developing markets. So it's edible of choice for China, for India, and of course for Africa. So demand for it, I think, is 6-7% annual growth is expected.
Right. So that's obviously a key aspect.
And I think we've got offtake agreements for your product.
That's right. So one thing which is obviously a great benefit to us is we are selling all of our crude palm oil at the factory gate. So we're not incurring transportation or shipping costs. We have three offtake agreements in place. All of these offtake providers could take all of our product. What they are all refineries, so they're sending tanker trucks on a constant basis to collect our crude palm oil and paying us cash on delivery.
Okay, you've just raised a small amount of money to produce another crushing plant for. Could you perhaps explain what this is for?
Sure. At the moment, we have a 60 ton per hour mill which is producing crude palm oil, and the other product is the kernels. Now the mill could produce up to 70,000 tons of crude palm oil and also the kernels. What we're doing now is instead of just selling the kernels, we are putting a kernel crushing plant in place which will allow us to produce palm kernel oil and kernel cake, which are high value products. The placing we did was a 1.5 million pound placing. The plant itself is around about 1.1 million investment, so we comfortably cover that plant. We're operational by the end of next year or the last quarter of next year and producing those additional products.
And what's going on in the palm oil market, not the palm oil market, but in terms of the Far Eastern manufacturers seem to be moving and purchasing companies in Africa? What is the reasoning behind that?
I think as Andrew was talking about the market before, West Africa is still in its relative infancy in terms of palm oil production. In fact, 80% plus comes from Indonesia and Malaysia. The issues in those countries, Malaysia, there's very little land for development. Indonesia, there's diminishing land for development, also environmental sensitivities that everyone is, I'm sure, well and truly aware. So these companies are having to look elsewhere in terms of expanding, and West Africa is being along the equator where the rainfall is sufficient is one of the areas they're looking. People would have seen on AIM in the last 6 weeks, Asian plantations taken over, and then a couple of weeks ago, a very high profile takeover or process of takeover of New Britain Palm Oil, which was done at around about a 90% premium, just illustrates what is going on in terms of the hunger for Southeast Asian companies to
You mentioned the environment. Are there other things within Côte d'Ivoire that you're involved in terms of social activities with the local communities?
Yeah, I guess we're looking at two things. One is the environmental factors, and two is the social factors. In terms of the environmental side, we're of course at the moment taking maximum use of what is already available in country in terms of the smallholder estate. So limiting the amount of new planting in terms of creating the mill and creating volume from existing estates. On top of that, we are planting, and the 2,000 hectares we planted and other hectares we planted are all predominantly planted on areas which were previously used for cocoa or for rubber or for indeed palm. We're not clearing any virgin rainforest. The mill itself, we put in a palm oil effluent treatment plant, which we understand is the first plant of its kind in Côte d'Ivoire to treat the waste and turn it into clean water. So from the environmental standpoint, we are obviously doing everything in line with the RSPO process, which we are a member, and then we're actually in fact looking at certification. In terms of the social side, of course, a business has a huge impact for the local people. Smallholders now have a guaranteed person to sell their product to. It encourages them to plant more, encourages them to put fertilizer on their estates, maximize the use of their estates. So obviously from that side of things, it is very positive. Our own estates that we plant are done in full partnership with the local community. So we will plant 3 hectares, and one of those hectares will share the profits from the sale of the product to our mill. So our business is in partnership, and the local community are profiting as well.
Okay. Just on a slightly, not necessarily negative note, but can you reassure us about what's going on in West Africa in terms of the Ebola outbreaks in the neighbouring countries?
Sure. I mean, obviously we watch with concern, as I'm sure everyone does, but the situation at the moment is Côte d'Ivoire is not affected by Ebola. However, it does sit near or next to Liberia, Sierra Leone to the north, who are the most affected countries at the moment. In terms of Côte d'Ivoire, the country has taken a lot of preemptive measures. The borders have been shut. Flights restricted from these countries into Côte d'Ivoire, and of course, given the benefit of time, a number of smaller preemptive measures in terms of cleanliness are being taken into account in Côte d'Ivoire. We operate to the east of the country, so well away from Liberia and Sierra Leone, which is obviously of benefit for us, and we at the moment don't see any impact on our operations.
Right, just to finish off, I mean, people, you know, hopefully people will watch the interview and they like what they hear. Recently, New Britain Palm Oil, one of your sort of counterparts, let's say, or peer group, was in the limelight in terms of, you know, getting a valuation of hundreds of millions of pounds. You're worth £20 million at the moment. Is there any read across in terms of that, and what are the main sort of positives about your company, just to sort of in a bullet point form?
Yeah, the infrastructure for our company is in place to become a large-scale palm oil producer already. The mill can produce up to 70,000 tonnes of CPO, and it's just a matter of time before we move up to that level of production, which in terms of producing at that level, adding on the kernel crusher that we're adding, is a profit line of around about 15 to 16 million pounds from that business alone. So we are in the next 6 months moving into a ramp-up period of production, and no doubt a significant uplift in profits. We should point out as well, we have a 13-year corporate tax exemption. So when we're talking about EBITDA or net profit before tax, it's the same after tax. So we don't need to do anything significant to build upon the valuation of the business. I would say the first business model, the palm oil mill and the kernel crusher, would have a valuation of around about 120 to 150 million just on its own, of which we own 51%. So when you're talking about a 20 million pound market cap, we are heading in that direction. Of course, we've got expansion projects as well we can look at.
Well, that sounds like good news. Harry Stevenson, thank you for helping me interview both Andrew Tillery and Lincoln Moore from Decal Oil. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you.
I'm Nick the Moose Batsford, Commander-in-Chief, Tip TV. You are watching Tip TV.